Part 17, Chapter 8. Johnny stood in the drenching rain and looked at the platform of the ancient, wrecked flatbed. Here, within the last 2 or 3 days, or perhaps only hours ago, stood 3 bound human beings. 2 old Briganti women and 1 young Scot, waiting for the cyclos to come out and seize them. Helpless to move or escape, probably covered from behind by poison arrows and grenades. How many Bantu and Pygmies had stood in this place the same way, captured and sold by the Brigantes? And the cyclos had come and taken them, bought them from the one-time mercenaries with the articles now lying there. The 2 old women had died in agony. The fate of the Scot was unknown. A Russian lance had gingerly tested the flatbed and barter goods for booby traps. If Johnny knew cyclos, and if they felt this trade ended future relations, it would have been rigged to explode. It wasn't. The cyclo employees must think that when they retook the planet, they'd be back. Johnny examined the goods. Sealed metal containers, 100 pounds of sulfur, another 100 of nitre. Under the tarpaulin lay a big coil of mine fuse, articles that could be used, adding only charcoal, to make grenades. In a smaller, wrapped pack, mine radio power cartridges. Such was the price of 3 human beings. Johnny turned his back on it and walked to where a Russian officer and men were holding the captured Brigantes. There were 17 of them left alive. They sat with their hands gripped back of their heads, looking down at the ground, very still under the ring of assault rifle muzzles. 7 wounded Brigantes lay about, groaning and moving in the thick humus. 12 dead Brigantes had been hauled in and lay in a heap. 1 of the 17 sensed a new presence and looked up. He was a barrel-chested brute, teeth broken long ago, face scarred and pitted, a huge jaw, short-cut hair. He was dressed in monkey skins cut in a military pattern. 2 bandoliers slotted with poisoned arrows crossed his chest. His eyes looked like scummed pools